Well, if you've been listening to radio or maybe watching TV or reading the newspaper, you probably know that today is kind of a big day regarding credit card bills and how they will appear to us. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Connie Kilmark of Madison, financial counselor, founder of Kilmark & Associates, LLC. She trains and speaks publicly on topics relating to personal money management, consumer debt, consumer protection, and psychologically sensitive investment strategy. So I'm really pleased to have Connie back as we talk about credit cards, credit card billing, and I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234 or at email talk@wpr.org. Connie, great to have you back.
It's a pleasure to be here.
What about this new system? What do we got?
Well, I've thought about this a lot, and boy, is it overdue. This is a great day.
You're pumped.
For consumers. I'm just telling you. There are quite a few, and I think very practical changes that people will experience. I think one of the nicest ones is that there's going to have to be a 45-day period of notice before a rate increase can occur, and that will give people an opportunity to actually explore other options. This replaces the any time for any reason within the next couple of weeks kind of thing that credit card companies reserve the right to do, and that was very hard on people once there was a balance. If they're going to make changes to the term, they have to give you the option to leave the card, and if that's the case, then you would have a new kind of set of terms. For instance, perhaps 5 years, perhaps larger than the minimum payment if you can't transfer the balance somewhere else. But that 45-day notice, I think, is one of the finer things. Now, that a lot of the card issuers in preparation for this big day moved from a fixed rate to a variable rate, and that variable rate is often an index plus a certain amount, and that will not need notice. So if that's the declared way that they're charging you interest, and of course there were preemptive rate increases, as we saw, lots of cards went up preemptively so that they would be ready to retrieve some of that lost revenue. So that variable rate that's tied to an index, as the index goes up, it will go up, and they will not have to notice that. One of the things that's going to be different, and I'm really curious about how this is going to affect consumers, is that they're going to need to tell you how long it's going to take at minimum monthly payments to pay off your current balance if you didn't charge anything else and you just paid the minimum. I'll give you an example. If you had $3,000 at 14.5% or so, the new balance, $3,000, the minimum payment due maybe $90, they would show that if you made only the minimum, you would pay $4,745 and 11 years it would take at that minimum. They would say this right on the bill. Then they would show you a comparison of how much you would have to pay per month to pay that balance off in 3 years. And in this case, it would be $103 instead of $90. And the difference in the total amount of money paid would be $1,000.
And I would think that would be a great educational tool. You can look at that and say, boy, I can just add $13 here
and make a big difference.
And make a big difference.
That's right. But I'm going to be curious because I really think that the way people see their bills is that they're making a minimum payment on things that they may have purchased years ago. If you're always carrying a balance, I don't honestly think people know what they're paying for when they make their minimum payment. They're paying something that feels kind of like a phone bill instead of paying for those items that I bought this particular billing cycle. They're not going to be able to charge a new rate for at least a year. Now, that's excellent because there were teaser rates that would no sooner than they got you in, they would pull the rug out from under you, and there would be rate increases almost immediately. So I think that's going to be important as well. And I think one of my favorites is that the rate increase, when they do pull one after the 12 months is over, will only apply to new charges. It's often felt deeply unfair that you establish a balance, you deal with a balance, you have a balance, and then all of a sudden the rate increases for this, that, or the other reason. Retroactively, it's as if, wait a minute, we had a deal. And now you're telling me going backwards in time, you're going to change the terms. So that's over now. There will only be a new rate for going forward.
That's a big thing.
That's huge. For difficult credit scores, there is a change on the way that fees can start off. For people with difficult credit histories, sometimes there would be an offer which would allow a credit card account to open, but would cost so much in the beginning fees that you would have a huge balance just from the start of the card because they were charging you almost all of your credit limit simply for the privilege of opening the account. Mm-hmm. So now there's a cap of no more than 25% of the initial credit limit, which is still huge, but at least it leaves you a little room for a meaningful relationship with that card, especially for people coming back from difficult credit histories. Another thing I like a lot is that there's going to be a positive opt-in if you want them to allow transactions that will take you over the credit limit. In the past, I don't even know that you had the right to opt out, but in any case, it was automatic that they would clear those charges, and then each and every single one of those charges for a $3 cup of coffee, for a $5, you know, newspaper, magazine, over a weekend where you're not aware of what you're doing, each one would carry a significant over-the-limit fee. And now there will be an opportunity to choose to ask them to do that for you, but you would have to proactively ask for that particular kind of transaction to be allowed. Otherwise, the default setting will be that there will be no over the limit, which means that consumers ought to know what their balances are and track their position with their credit limit. Finally, I think it's interesting that we're going to see some restrictions for the kind of rampant credit card recruitment that we see on campuses. Youngsters 17, 18 years old.
Well, I see it here all the time.
All the time. Well, now, if you're under 21, you either need to show that you actually have income and can make the payments, or you have to have a cosigner, which means that a parent or other person with the means will be co-indebted. Very important for cosigners to understand that that makes them 100% responsible along with the young person. So cosigning is not a character reference. It's 100% willingness to be liable for those charges. But the youngest of our consumers will then not, I've seen so many of them literally drop out of school because they get into trouble with large credit card balances. They're ashamed of themselves. They don't want to tell their parents. And they end up leaving or even in some cases changing majors to something that's going to pay them better in order just to take care of the debts that they're creating during those young years.
We have callers on the line. By the way, you can join in with your question at 1-800-642-1234. And I want to get Carrie on. It's been waiting a while. Carrie in Door County, hi.
Hi.
Hi, Carrie.
You were talking about the minimum payment warning, and I have a Chase card with that on it. And the interesting thing, it says, you know, if you make no additional charges, pay only the minimum amount, it'll cost you X amount, it'll take you 6 years. But if you pay $82, it'll only take you 3 years, and you'll save $18. But the minimum amount, the minimum payment due, is $138.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. No.
So they're going to have to shake out some of the bugs in their billing.
Also, I'm wondering, you know, I'm one of those that they call, I hate the word, a deadbeat.
Oh, yes.
Because I'm a good, you know, I pay.
Actually, you're called the problem of the free rider. You're called a free rider.
Okay, that's better than deadbeat.
That means you pay the balance off every month.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, this, I've been carrying this because it's only 3.9%.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the last thing that gets paid.
Sure.
And they don't want me, you know, they reduced my credit because they say, oh, we see you don't really need this much credit.
Mm-hmm.
And now this thing, I'm wondering if maybe they did that on purpose, thinking I'd misread it and start paying more.
Well, there was a lot of preemptive reduction of credit lines simply because I think a lot of the big issuers, there's only six companies that comprise almost 90% of the credit card issuance in the United States. And I think that with the huge financial meltdown and huge unemployment, they've been seeing themselves at risk in their credit card area, and defaults, the default has been on their mind, the default rate has been on their mind. So I think they were trying to push down how much trouble they could allow consumers to get into. So if you're unemployed, you're going to perhaps use that card in a way that may put you into difficulty. Did you see a change in your monthly due date? There should have been a notice last month
that
there's...
I have more than this credit card, so I've received things that your monthly due date will now be a set date.
That's right.
Whatever. You know, I check all of that. When I get my credit card, I check all the everything it says.
Well, you would have been a poor victim for the abuse that a variable due date produces, but you'd be surprised at how effective that was to have a late payment fee, the fee revenue of $39, $28, whatever it was, that revenue line from people with movable dates, if every month it was a different date, you would have been a poor victim because you're diligent and you seem to notice what your bill says, but others were not, and this will help.
Yeah.
The fixed date.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I just wanted to, you know, point out that, this didn't make any sense. We've given you a new bill because it'll be so much easier to read. It's like,
You've been forced to, credit card companies.
Thank you, Carrie. Thank you very much for calling. A caller wanted to know, what's two-cycle billing? What is two-cycle billing?
It's something that I'm not that familiar with, and I was fearful that somebody would specifically ask that question. But apparently, it's never happened to me, and I've not actually seen credit card bills with it. But it was a way of churning extra interest out of a billing cycle and charging twice in one billing cycle. Charging interest twice in one billing cycle, that will no longer be possible. No two-cycle or double-cycle billing any longer. And finally, there's one more change that I quite like, and maybe somebody will speak to this. The payments, you may have several lines of credit, one that was from cash advances that you took, and those are usually at higher interest rates, and then maybe others at a lower interest rate, perhaps from a balance transfer. It used to be that, of course, the monthly payment that you'd send in would be directed to the lowest interest rate balance when you would want it to be put towards the highest interest balance, because now computers allow them to have several lines with different rates and terms. This change will require that all payments be directed at the high interest balance first, and only after that's completely paid off to the lower interest, which is just plain fair.
Yeah, absolutely. Beverly in Green Bay, we turn to you next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you very much.
Hi.
I guess I just have a scenario and a question at the end. I am in the poverty level, currently unemployed, but even before that I was in the poverty level. I've made it a point to pay off all of my bills, my student loans, all of my credit cards. I am zero debt except for my car, except for my home.
So your overhead is just your current living expenses for this month.
Exactly.
Bravo.
Thank you. I've had a credit card for about 10 years. Before this change came into effect, they called me up, said I need to go by their terms of 15% fixed or something. If not, they're canceling my card. I guess I don't know what this new legislation, are they able to do that because it was before today?
I'm virtually sure that would have been permitted, yes, before.
I think that's a shame because now, unfortunately, I'm really going to need to start going into debt if I don't find a job soon in this economy.
Right.
Okay. Well, I guess I wanted to know if that was just kind of the norm of what the credit cards, and let other people know that they were kind of targeting everybody, saying, well, before this day.
That's right. They were very busy the last few months. Do you have a job right now?
No, I'm unemployed.
Ouch. So that makes it harder to shop for a new opportunity.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. Yep. So I was lucky enough to keep a couple of credit cards open just in case.
And that long relationship that you have with that card is actually somewhat valuable. You know, old relationships are more valuable than brand new relationships on your credit score, so it might be worth it to keep that card, but just be awfully, awfully, awfully careful about the balance that you run.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Good luck. And good luck in your job search as well. Thank you very much for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Connie Kilmark of Madison, our guest today, as we talk about the new credit card bill that you will be receiving if you have credit cards. I'm Larry Mueller. Dave Potratz, our on-air producer, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Connie, you sometimes talk about the psychology of credit cards. You want to speak to that today?
Well, I think since we're focusing on credit cards as a means of payment, and since they have become so ubiquitous, a few things that people ought to be aware of. First of all, nothing that you do on a credit card is anonymous. I just might suggest to people that the last bastion of anonymity in terms of where you were, what time it was, and what you bought is if you use actual currency, actual cash. When you're using a credit card, a debit card, a smart card, any of those, there's an electronic footprint that you leave that allows a huge amount of information collection. So there's an industry that's really about harvesting information about us. And when you think about it, a credit card especially is uniquely designed, so specially and sensitively designed to separate the act of acquisition from the act of paying. Mm-hmm. Used to be that you got something and you had to pay something, and that the two sides of that exchange occurred at the same moment.
Yeah.
When you use a credit card, you don't get arrested for shoplifting in the parking lot of Best Buy. It's amazing because, in fact, all you've done is promise to pay in the future, but you haven't actually paid for the item that you're being permitted to leave the store with. Not so sure that people are aware of how ingeniously that causes us to go to sleep about the balance, because we seem to be able to acquire, even though we're paying a far, far smaller amount of what we've bought in that monthly payment.
Yeah.
And it comes to us at home, and we might pay it in our pajamas. It's not associated closely with the thing itself. So
yeah,
as an exercise, folks might try taking actual cash and buying a slightly larger ticket item and see how it feels different. Simply to take a couple $100 bills and buy a piece of electronic equipment at Best Buy or some other store,
yeah,
where you might once have simply put it on the credit card.
And when you're going on vacation or you're someplace, you know, that is one time where we overspend. I mean, we don't think too much about it. You're at a place like Disney, let's say, where
you bet,
where you just give them your room key or your room card, and so you buy. I'm sure we buy more, much more than we would have purchased.
And that's not by accident, you know.
No.
It's sort of the great cruise ship in the sky. You're sort of out of touch with the gravitational field of real life. Conventions can be that way. And by the way, there is a charge that has remained on credit cards, and that is an international exchange rate fee. That's still actually fairly high. You might want to check your card if you're going to make purchases overseas. It often beats the exchange rate, the fee for exchanging money that's there. Nonetheless, there is a nice harvest that comes to the credit card companies as a result of that international rate exchange fee.
Mark in Colfax, thank you for waiting. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Mark.
I had I have an account with Chase that I use for balance transfers, including a couple of car loans and things. And I was paying 3.99%. And the minimum payment was the interest every month plus 2% of the balance.
Right, right.
And just when all this stuff started coming up in Congress and everything, they sent me a letter and said they were increasing my minimum payment to 5%.
Yes.
And that put my payment from $400 up to $1,000. And so I called them and I said, I can't afford this, you know, and I've never been late. Never missed a payment.
Right.
You know, the whole works. And I said, I can't pay you $1,000 a month. So they ended up putting me on what they call a repayment plan.
Yes.
Which is...
You've ended the card. They have ended the card. Is that correct? Yep. They've closed the account.
Yeah, which I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wasn't using the card for anything else.
Right.
And now I'm at 2% instead of 4%. And... the minimum payment is $354 instead of $400.
So it sounds like by...
I'm wondering what they did to me and why did they do it?
Well, it sounds like they were worried about you, and they wanted to increase the amount per month that you were going to be paying. And it sounds also like by having a closed-end transaction instead of an open revolving account, that they were willing to take smaller payments because they know theoretically when this debt will be paid. There's a certain amount of risk for an open revolving account. That is to say, you are always free, as long as there's room on that credit limit, to add extra money. And they have default prediction software in the institutions that issue these cards that have taken a look at lots of other accounts and statistically analyzed what kind of pattern precedes default. So it's possible that what they were doing is getting worried about the size of your balance and wanting to get to goose you a bit to get that balance, to get a more significant size of payment on that.
But you see, if they would have just lowered credit limit, I would still be paying 4% instead of 2%,
yep,
and paying them $400 a month instead of $350.
Well, you know, what you're saying is so rational, and one does actually wonder about the shared goodness of rationality in this subject.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah,
thanks.
One other quick question.
Sure. Sure.
Having them put me on what they call a repayment plan, how bad does that affect my credit rating?
Well, that's going to be a good question. I don't honestly know, because it's kind of too new to know. But it sounds like it was an agreement between you and they, and you are continuing to honor the terms of your contract. So I would say paid as agreed should continue to show up on that credit score. So I would be checking, and you know, all of you out there, that you can check your own credit report in each of the three big credit bureaus once per year at no cost to you. And you do that by going through an internet portal called annualcreditreport.com. Annualcreditreport.com. Notice that it does not have the word free in it. So anything that has the word free in it is not free. So the proper portal is that. And I would say, check TransUnion, which in the Midwest is big. I think they're out of Chicago, and we seem to have lots of our lenders subscribing to TransUnion. So that might be a good one to start with. And then 4 months from now, check Experian. And 4 months after that, check Equifax. And that way, once every 4 months, you're checking a different report to see how that is being scored and how it's being reported, those new sets of terms.
That was annualcreditreport.com?
Exactly.
Okay, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. A few people here who've talked about the paying the credit card off every month, and Stephen, said you should note that free riders are not really getting a free ride. The banks charge the merchant a fee
plus a
percentage of the transaction for every charge.
That's called the interchange, and it's invisible to most consumers. There are two revenue streams, the revenue stream from the consumer, if there is interest, and the very dependable revenue stream that every merchant pays as a percentage, depending on the volume of transactions that they have. A percentage of every charge goes directly to the credit card company. So this is an incredibly profitable book of business.
And the fees, of course, are built into the price of the product. So
of course,
it's not a free ride.
Thank you. Whoever sent that in, you're exactly right. You have a good X-ray mind.
Is there anything, Bill wonders, all these changes, does it make any difference to the people who pay every month?
I think what we're going to see are higher annual fees and annual fees being charged, because, frankly, I pay my balance off. I've had a card since 1983. I pay it off every month. In fact, today was its due date, and I usually use the telephone to transfer money out of an account, so it's on the day. I'm a little obsessive about that, shall we say. I think what will happen is that they will make up for some of this by charging annual fees where there might not have been one. And then we will be comparing. Those of us that are good credit risks will be comparing among companies. And those that are poorer risks may have higher fees and not have much say in it. I think that's one of the ways.
Let's turn to Norris in Pine Bluff. Hi, thank you for calling.
It's Harris.
Oh, Harris, I'm sorry.
Hi, Harris.
Good try. That's right. Mm-hmm. I guess I've got a number of things to discuss with you. I'll try to be brief, though, about all these. Number one, I'm a small businessman with my wife, and yes, indeed, I pay a little bit of a premium whenever I accept payment for our. I do data processing services, a very specialized type, and we do have to pay a fee to collect from people's cards.
Yes.
Which is fine because it makes it easier for me to do the paperwork on all my transactions because I have computerized records of all of them.
Sure.
Item number two about my own use of these cards. Some time ago, I decided that having credit cards at all is a sucker game.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did then is I got rid of all of them except one, which is also on its way out, and I replaced them with check cards, so-called debit cards.
A debit card.
Why? And the reason is that I can spend down on those only to the extent that I have money to back it, and I don't let it get that close. And if I want something and I can't afford it, then I just forego it until I have the cash to pay for it, or the cash and the cards to pay for it, or I reconsider my, whether need is just want.
Yeah. You bet. But, Harris, let me ask you this. Do you know for sure that your debit card will not allow you to charge beyond the limit of what's in your account? Because there's been significant abuse in this area as well, debit cards that...
A couple of them at least. And,
okay.
But the point, and I tried to check these things out, but I use the computer system here to check the status of these accounts
regularly.
So I know what's in there.
Good.
Now, as for the privacy issue, I happen to be in the direct mail business, among other things.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, indeed, those of us who compile mailing lists put together information based on people's purchasing habits. As a matter of fact, it's one of the things that keeps the economy of the USA going, because without targeted direct mail, you really would be bombarded in junk mail.
Sure.
But for those who don't want to be on that, yeah, you can escape it by just paying cash for things, but sometimes that's inconvenient. Anyway, the easiest way, as for giving kids credit cards, well, my wife and I have had four kids, and they're all grown now, fortunately, and we never made the mistake of doing that. If they want to spend money, they earn it, and then they spend it, and that's, we figure, the easiest way to get around.
Bravo.
That makes me sound a little bit old-fashioned, but I guess I ought to be, since I'm approaching 76 years of age.
Well, some of the wisdom of the olden days, shall we say, actually bears people in good stead. Because
Absolutely.
If you can't pay for it, don't buy it. Figure out the difference between need and want. I mean, temptations abound. And there'll never be a lack of opportunity to spend more than you actually have. So if a credit card is not your friend, if you're holding a knife by the blade and your hand is bleeding, drop the knife. It's not a tool. Drop the knife.
Harris, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. We'll get some other folks online here. Nancy in Milwaukee is up next. Nancy, hi.
Good morning. I've had a Bank of America Visa card for many years, I think going back to 1975 or 80, and I've always paid it fully every month.
Yes.
But now I perhaps foolishly signed up for a checking account at a bank near my house called City National. They were offering a premium of $300 as long as you made what to me are actually a very large number of purchases using their debit card within a fairly short amount of time. Now, because I'm a senior citizen and I'm not buying things for a family anymore, I'm obviously not buying as much as I once used to.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of doubting the advisability of signing up for that bank card, but the $300 premium looked very inviting. So my question to you is, because I don't intend to use the Bank of America Visa at all until I've made all these purchases using mm-hmm. the debit card, is Bank of America going to have the right to charge me a monthly fee for not using their card?
Well, that's an interesting question. I don't know that the new rules say very much of anything about that. And I have heard people get charged for inactivity.
Yes.
So,
this would be a good example of that.
Well, and you might want to use it for just this or that, so that they can't say totally inactive. Maybe a small thing every month, make on purpose, just to thwart that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it did occur to me to do that, and I wouldn't want to use this, lose this Bank of America. Therefore,
right.
I don't want to actually cancel it.
Right. That long relationship is a valuable thing. That's true. It adds luster to that credit score.
Well, it's going to be. I'm going to be under the wire trying to meet all of these other
purchases
that I have to make.
Well, you know,
for the new card. But I guess I'll have to take your advice and try that. Just buy one small thing.
And think about this. I mean, there's nothing for nothing in this world when it comes to these institutions. So they're clearly going to figure out how to make some money on that. They're not giving $300 checks away for nothing. So it sounds like, you know, it might be more trouble than it was worth.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to see how this goes.
Yep.
How this goes.
Just keep on top of it.
Thanks, Nancy. Kay in Madison. On to you. Thanks, Kay.
Hi. I have a general question about how to improve one's credit rating besides paying bills on time. My sister was turned down for a car loan and needed a higher credit rating. And I know she has a lot of credit cards she's paying off, some of which are probably, you know, where she has that repayment.
Yeah. So there was maybe a default or...
Yeah, because she was disabled for a while and unable to work, but now is working again. So I thought you would be a good one to ask about how to repair one's credit rating.
Well, I want to first warn you that there's nothing that anyone else for a fee can do for you that you can't do for yourself. There is no such thing as a credit doctor out there that can fix this faster than you can fix it, number one. And number two, the bad news is that negative information can stay on that credit report for 7 years. Some information as long as 10 years, bad information. The whole point of a credit reporting agency is to track the patterns of a person over time, because that's what's interesting to future lenders. They want to know your past behavior. New information, a new pattern, is much more interesting to them than aging information. So the farther that negative information goes in time behind your sister, the less important it will be. So I would say the current 2 or 3 years of pattern of repayment is going to be much more important and valuable, and it will improve the score. But it can't be done quickly. If there was a default, if there was a judgment, if there was a civil money judgment, that's going to stay on the record for a long time. It's just that as it gets older, it gets a bit colder to the lenders, and they're going to be more interested in your current pattern, your current income, your current employment status. So there's hope, but it may not be for a while yet. And she might shop for better terms on that loan at some point when her score improves. And she also may want to overpay the payments if she possibly can, because she doesn't want to get upside down on that car loan. She doesn't want the car to be worth less than the balance on the loan, if at all possible.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot for calling. And Nathaniel in Menominee. Hello to you.
Hi there. How's it going?
Good. Thank you
for calling. Hello, Nathaniel.
I just had a little one thing I wanted to mention. I'm currently in an economics class. I'm a younger guy. I'm in school right now. And I just wanted to discuss that what we had learned about the credit card is that actually the credit card was kind of the boom and the destruction of the economy in the last, like, 20, 30 years. So, and one of the major reasons for that was because when you give everybody money that they're allowed to spend right away without having it on them, they're going to go lots and lots.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, you know, increasing the amount of things that people buy, and increasing, you know, the amount of money that companies are making, increasing taxes, and so on and so forth. So
right.
It actually increases the economy like it did in the 90s. However, because they didn't have to pay that, and things were prolonged and pushed off until, you know, in the 2000s, all of a sudden when people had to pay those back, they started losing money, which means that the companies who overproduced, you know, lose money,
right.
Which means taxes go down and start
right.
Sending us into a recession. So that was one thing. And then another thing,
actually,
too, that I just
there's been some interesting discussion about what is a credit card balance. Is it money at all? It's the promise of money in the future that, you know, will actually be earned and real. But when you're spending it, what is it? You know, it's an interesting topic.
Yeah.
And you're
yeah.
quite right about the last 30 years from the middle 70s.
Well, And then I just have one little tidbit, just kind of a little helper for everybody who's using a debit card nowadays. Mm-hmm. And just a little suggestion for everybody. Whenever you go to purchase something, you know, like at Walmart or something like that, and the PIN pops up, whenever you type in the PIN number, it doesn't charge account directly right away. And if it does, it charges a little bit over, usually temporarily. And the companies do that so that they can make sure they get the money. And a lot of times you can actually go into the negative for doing that. However, if you press the cancel button and then select credit, or, you know, you don't have to enter in your PIN, it does not overcharge, and you cannot actually go past the balance that you currently have.
Mm. So it charges at that point only the accurate amount of the purchase.
Exactly. It mm-hmm. charges it immediately versus debit. They usually wait until the next week or whenever they have the rotation, in which case they take the money from the account. And a lot of times you can actually go into the negative from that. However, mm-hmm. again, whenever you have to enter in the PIN, you just hit the cancel button. Mm-hmm. And get credit, and it'll only charge the amount.
Now, does that mean that you will then have to sign something?
Yeah, you do have to sign something if it's over $20 usually. And, you know, sometimes if you have, you know, extra security on your debit card,
right.
You'll have to have a little signature on your debit card, and then you have to show your license to ID that. But yep. You very rarely run into that.
But so. One small caveat, and that is when you use your PIN, it's a cheaper transaction for the merchant. It's more expensive for the merchant. They take a bigger cut if there's a signature, and lots of lenders want you to have a signature relationship, so that PIN is actually cheaper. But I do understand what you're saying, especially at gas stations. They can block a significant amount of the available credit. And if
yeah,
it causes...
you're absolutely right. And the biggest thing is that it doesn't usually charge you, it charges the bank. And the other thing, too, is that, honestly, if that little extra tiny bit amount of money
mm-hmm.
goes through with every transaction, it helps out the economic state
right.
a lot.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you very much for calling, Nathaniel. Appreciate your call. And Connie, thank you.
An excellent 45 minutes. Thank you, Larry.
And you'll come back. Boy, it's going to be fun just to kind of follow this
yes.
and see what happens.
Yes, yes.
But pretty good news as far as you're concerned.
Woohoo!
All right. Connie Kilmark of Madison, financial counselor and founder of Kilmark & Associates. And it's been a great pleasure to have her. She'll be back with us again. She does lots of work in this consumer area, and I was really pleased to have the opportunity to talk with her about this new credit card billing. It takes effect, the law, today. So you'll notice it, if you haven't already, on your credit card bill. Coming up, we're going to take a look at climate and weather. It's got to be the last Monday of the month. Our weather guys, Steve Ackerman and John Martin, will be joining us next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.